Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday, and thank you for joining us for another wonderful episode of Your Welcome. Today's show, once again, brought to you by the good folks at BetDSI.com. And guys, the only thing I like more than these guys being a sponsor is when you kick their butts and take their money. BetDSI has been in business over 20 years. They score an A-plus on sports review sites. They have a mobile app, 24/7 customer service. What more can you ask for? Well, I'll tell you. They have made a reputation on you getting paid fast and easy. Right now, go to BetDSI.com. Use the promo code CHAEL25. Whatever you put up as your deposit, they are going to triple. Can I say that any easier? I'll do simple math for you. You put up 10 bucks, boom, you got 30 on the books. You put up 100 bucks, you got 300. You tell me anywhere in the world you can find that deal. Go to BetDSI.com. Use the promo code CHAEL25. Have some fun over there. So, Jacob, press conference. I mean, this is moments away. You keeping your eye on the clock? Because I'm not. When it's ready, you connect us and we'll just throw to it.
I've got him.
All right, cool. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How about you?
What's new? You seem like you're in good spirits today. I'm seeing like a little something in your face. Something good happened to you?
Well, I saw my girlfriend.
Hey.
That's always fun.
All right.
Yeah.
Long distance? Did you not see her regularly?
Well, I was at the place where she works for a couple hours, just hanging out, and then I took off for this.
How did the boss handle it? Was the boss sick? What do you mean you were hanging out at her job for 2 hours?
Because my sister ghost works at her same place. So it's easy for me to kind of just mosey, as weird as that sounds.
Linger.
Yeah.
I picture, are you lingering?
Yeah.
Did you take her lunch? Did you take her a coffee? I mean, how do you go to the work? I feel like if you're showing up to the place of employment, you must have to bring something.
Well, I'm in the guest room kind of just waiting. I bring a book.
All right.
So I'm just there. That's it.
That's pretty cool.
It is.
I mean, why not?
Thanks. Yeah, exactly. Why not? That's my thought.
Yeah, all right. As long, I mean, if nobody's getting in trouble and you're enjoying the company of each other's presence, then I'm happy for you.
Thanks.
So I've got... I got multiple things going on, man. I got this fight. I'm not dealing with the same stresses that I do. And that may sound like a good thing. And that may be a good thing. But I will tell you this as an athlete. I don't like to do anything that I'm not familiar with. I don't like to get in the ring without some kind of I call them owies. Some guys call them injuries. I don't know. I wouldn't know that feeling. I don't like to get in there without being sore or tired or run down or a little bit of a cold or something like this going on. But that's just the world that I know. That's where I'm comfortable.
Has there ever been a fight where you actually felt 100%?
No.
I know. That's the fun part.
Yeah. Or wouldn't want to. I mean, I wouldn't know that feeling. I go, what the heck's going on here? This isn't right. Did I not prepare hard enough? Why do I feel good? If I'm training for a fight and that means I'm in practice, I should feel bad. But so I go back to this weight cut. I'm trying to make a point to you here, which is, without dealing with the stress of this, and I've always thought it was a physical stress, I've got a mental relief, and that mental relief has me in a more positive state of mind, but I don't recognize this state of mind. I'm not happy being happy. I'm a pessimist. I need something to complain about. So I'm feeling so good. You know, I'm feeling so relaxed. I'm looking at the room service menu. I'm thrown off by this, and I know this sounds very bizarre, but I'm not trying to say this to you in jest. I'm a little bit thrown off by this. Now, I will only know. You never know, though. You never know what is the perfect preparation for a fight until you go out there and fight, and then it's always a hindsight. So perhaps I will look back and go, wow, that was really great, not having that wake-up. That's what I'm hoping for. But all I can tell you right now, it's putting me in a little bit of a panic. I don't like to be in a good mood this close out. You know, I don't. I like to feel that suffer. I like to feel that, that discipline that's required from it. I like to really know that I have paid a price. I have paid a price in the practice room. I did. I check off all of those boxes. Never missed a workout. But I haven't had that extra element, that extra price to pay, because the weight is, I don't even know what the weight is. Put it that way. It's so goddamn heavy. I don't even know what it is. I think it's 265, but it might be 285. I don't even know what the heavyweight limit is. I've never checked. It's never mattered. So I've got a point in here somewhere, but as I keep trying to kind of work my way through this to explain it to you, I'm realizing I'm having a hard time rhetorically telling you what it is I'm trying to tell you. But there's something on here that should be a positive, but for some reason I'm choosing to find it a negative. How do you like that?
It's in the new. You've never experienced this because, to my knowledge, you've never gone up in weight class or had to really relax about losing, or I should say cutting weight.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
Exactly. So everything is off. You feel great. And you're suspicious about
that. I'll tell you one of the things that I do to lose weight, and this is a Dolce diet thing, but it works, it's called a water load, where you load your body with water. To give you an example, 30 days before the weigh-in, I will start drinking 1 gallon of water today. Now, people are going to hear this, including yourself, and probably go, so? Hey, listen to me. I'm telling you what, a gallon, so to make that real simple for a visual term for you, a milk jug, a big milk jug. That's a gallon. That's 8 pounds. 8 pounds of water in a day is tough because you run out of time in the day. And it does require an amount of, you know, you can only drink so much and you need a little break, and then you drink a little more. And as the hours go by, you look at your watch, you go, man, it's the end of the day and I've still got a little bit of water to drink. So that's for 30 days out. 1 week prior to the weigh-in, you elevate that to 2 gallons a day. And it is pretty simple. I mean, you're just drinking water, but you're uncomfortable. Even your trips to the bathroom, you know, you're out driving around, you got to find a bathroom somewhere. So there's a discipline there. And you got to start right away. I mean, that it needs to be on your nightstand. So that the second that alarm goes off, the very first thing you do is start chugging water. You got to get that clock going. So going to 2 gallons a day is pretty tough for those 7 days. And then one day, you'll go to 3 gallons or more. 3 is the minimum. If you could go more, the most I've ever made is 3.5. Which, to put in perspective for you, is 27 pounds of water. Bottles of water, generally 16 ounces, which is 1 pound. So it's 27 of those. And I only got to do that once. But that does add a discipline. And that does tell my mind, after all these years, it tells my mind and body, hey, you're getting ready. This is part of the process. So I've even been doing that. I've been doing that. I've been drinking this damn water to make myself uncomfortable because I'm not comfortable being comfortable. I'm not happy unless I'm unhappy, right? I have this pessimistic approach where I'm complaining and my attitude's bad and I'm grumpy pants and all these different things. So I'm going out of my way to create this environment that doesn't need to exist, which is a little bit weird. It's a weird thing that I'm doing, but it's my first time and I'm just sharing with you. I'm doing it.
But how are you feeling with it? Because it is new. You said you're feeling uncomfortable, but hey, this could be the best workout you've ever had. Just don't know it yet.
That's exactly right. You don't know it yet. You know, Randy Couture was a master of the mental approach and has influenced me greatly. And he had just a couple of things he would set down, but I would pick them up. You know, one of them was, you know, when you feel fear, and he would explain that the chemical release in your brain of fear is the same chemical release for excitement. It's just a matter of how you choose to look at it. So when you feel that fear, if you tell yourself, no, I'm excited, that it's actually the same release. I've never checked scientifically if he's even right on that, but I've believed it because he said it's true. He would say, you know, these kinds of things, though, and it's all about trying to find the perfect match. So you look back, and it's got to be a retrospective. You never know ahead of time. And you look back at your best performance. It might even be a loss, surprisingly. But I offer that because we got a lot of baseball players and football players that listen to this. Some of your best performances, you lost, but you go, well, I really did my job. I really played well today. I had high energy. My eyes were good. My reflexes were good, whatever it may be for your sport. And then you try to look back and go, okay, well, what did I do? Let me just kind of break down the last 24 hours. And then you can do it kind of easy. How much did I sleep that night? What did I eat? What were the sounds I heard? Was there a song? Was there a group of songs? What did I hear? What did I watch on television? What conversations did I have? You try to remake that day. Who did I warm up with? What did we do for warm up? How long was the warm up process? You start to rework. What did I wear? All of these little things, and then you try to just take them with you and duplicate it to duplicate the perfect match. That's your approach. That was Randy's approach. That's what he did. There was a book he was influenced by, written by Coach Beasley. I've read the same book, and it's called The Perfect Match. So with that said, as much as I'm telling you, yeah, I'm kind of feeling a little different this week, that doesn't mean it's bad. It doesn't. I'll have to let you know next Wednesday, right? That's just the way I'll have to do it. It'll be a hindsight thing. But with my weight, I'd really like to weigh in at 214 pounds. Now, 214 in fairness could mean 216. It could even mean 217, but right around 214. It could mean 212. I could kind of go either side of that number. One of the things with the water load, I could be packing an extra 10 pounds. It's a matter of how it processes through your body. So I'm sharing that with you so that if you see me weigh in and I don't make that 214, 215, 213, whatever that is, I want to share with you, it doesn't mean I didn't weigh it. I could have just pounded the water, and then all of a sudden it's time to run down to the scale. So, all right, I'm looking at the clock. I see that you're dialing here. It must be time for the conference call. Let's do it, man. I'm ready.
All right, let's do it.
Who's on this call, by the way?
I was about to ask the same thing.
If I'm here, that means Rampage is here.
Rampage, it sounds like. And then
is Lima and Rory on this call, or you don't know?
I thought they were.
All right, well, connect us. Let's find out.
Hey, this is Jim Litke, host of 8B Sports Weekly, where we harness the shoe leather, insight, and experience of some of the smartest reporters in the business to bring you the news. I've been an 8B Sports columnist since 1989 and covered every major championship around the globe multiple times and crossed paths with some of the greatest athletes of our time. And now I'm excited to bring you a weekly recap of the most interesting happenings in sports. So make sure to download new episodes of 8B Sports Weekly every Tuesday on PodcastOneSports.com, the new Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, and thank you for joining us on today's conference call. This event takes place next Saturday at the Forum in Los Angeles. That's January 20th. It will be the first event on the brand-new Paramount Network, formerly Spike, where it will air live and free at 9 p.m. Eastern. On today's call, we've got Bellator President Scott Coker, welterweight champion Douglas Lima, Rory McDonald, Chael Sonnen, and Rampage Jackson. At this point, I will turn it over to Scott Coker. I do want to mention really quickly, if you want to queue up for questions, please press *1 on your keypad. Again, that's *1 questions, and I will now turn it over to Scott. Scott?
Hey, thanks, Danny. Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Bellator 182 media call. We have a great event next Saturday at the LA Forum. Again, Danny said it's our inaugural launch into becoming the Paramount Network. It's going to be live and free on Paramount starting at 9 p.m. Eastern. I'd like to thank Kevin Kay, John Slusser, thank Viacom, and they've all been working really hard making this transition and making this possible. I'd like to thank the fighters that are on the call too, and wish them good luck because this is going to be a great event. As most of you heard yesterday, we've added Big John McCarthy to our broadcast team, who has a great amount of experience and knowledge. He's been a great fan for many years. Really excited to have him on board. And then moving on to the card. I mean, I think we have one of the best welterweight divisions on the planet, and Douglas has been a great champion. He's going to be taking on top contender Rory McDonald, who's known pound for pound, one of the best in the world. And then we have the heavyweight World Grand Prix for 2018. This will be the inaugural heavyweight fight to try to get to the championship belt at the end of the year, and that's Rampage versus Chael. So we're very excited. You also see exciting fighters like Michael Chandler, Aaron Pico, as well as some of our other upcoming prospects. Again, next Saturday, January 20th, 9 p.m. Paramount, and it's live and free. That's it, Danny.
All right, thanks, Scott. Operator, if you want to go to our first question.
Our first question comes from the line of Gareth A. Davies with Daily Telegraph.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Can I start, please, by... do we have Rampage on the call?
Yeah, he's here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello, big man. How are you? Rampage, we saw in the last couple of days in some of the viral videos that the organization, Bellator, the organization, have been putting out that... you're prepared to pay Chael Sonnen $10,000 for each takedown he gets, and he's looking to get 9 on you, so he's going to take you the distance, put you down 9 times, pick up a clean 90K, thinks he's going to win. How many times are you going to take him down to get your 10K?
That wasn't part of the deal for me to take him down to get my 10K, and Chael's supposed to come back with something to sweeten the bets up, so, you know. So I can, you know, benefit from it. But he said he had to check with his wife.
Th- You guys have been pretty cordial with each other. Obviously, you're very mature fighters. There's no beef between you in terms other than the athletic beef between you both. Do you think there's a chance? Sometimes when this happens, that there is the chance this becomes a real barn burner. Obviously, he will be avoiding your heavy hands. But what's your prediction for the way the fight goes, Rampage?
What's that noise?
I don't know. It's not
me.
It's Chael. It's probably Chael backing out of the fight right now.
It's Chael.
My apartment building is doing a.
All right. Can you hear me now?
I can indeed.
Yeah. It ain't no secret. Chael's going to desperately try to take me down, and I'm going to. And try my best to stay on my feet and throw them hands. It's no secret. It's no secret. Everybody knows what type of fight it's going to be.
Thank you, Rampage. I'm really looking forward to it. And for you, Chael, are you there?
I'm here. Where else would I possibly be?
I thought that was you. I thought you were just backing your truck out of the press conference then. That was all.
I'm here, buddy. You got a question for me?
I do. And the question is this. He's going to pay you $10K every time you take him to the ground. What are you going to pay him?
Yeah, people think that's a joke, man. I didn't know how to take it either. Rampage is a man of honor. We shook. I think we've got a bet here. So, I told him I can't pay him anything. He said I want $500 for every jab that I land. I said, Rampage, I'm married.
I'm a married man.
I can't go around making $500 bets. I used to rule the roost, Gareth. I used to be, anything I wanted to do. I could wake up in Germany tomorrow. Nobody could tell me. Now, I can't make a bet. I got to go get clearance. But I'll tell you, I do agree with Rampage. I got to take him down. He's got to stand up. I got one way to win. It was just to be on top of him and annoy him for 15 minutes. He got one way to win, which is put me to sleep. I've taken a lot of people down. He's put a lot of people to sleep. I mean, this one isn't rocket science.
So if you're pledging then that you're going to pay him $500 every time he lands a jab on you, yeah?
No, just the opposite. As a man of honor, I'm telling you, I am not involved with that. I am not part of that. JLP is purely here to collect.
And thank you, gentlemen. Can I just ask Rory and Douglas a question as well, and I will. Rory, thank you, gentlemen. Rory, Douglas. Douglas first. Good afternoon.
Afternoon. What's up, guy?
Good, thank you. How are you, sir? I just wanted to ask you. Do you think a week on Saturday decides the best welterweight in the world? When the title goes ahead between you and Rory McDonald?
Well, I love to think so. I think, Rory's been on the top for a long time. He beat the guy that, supposedly be the number one right now. He beat him before, so he can be considered the number one. And I'll take that spot, once I beat him next Saturday, for sure. But honestly, I'm not even thinking about that, man. I'm just, focused on the fight. Don't really care much about rankings. There's always going to be somebody saying something that, he doesn't deserve to be number one, this and that. So I'm not really focusing on that. Just, focusing on winning this fight. And whatever happens, happens.
Thank you, Douglas. And for you, Rory, obviously you've beaten Tyron Woodley, who's the UFC champion at present. Do you feel this could decide the number one in the world in at 170?
Well, I already feel like I'm the number one in the world. It's about getting it done now, So we'll find out next Saturday what Douglas is made of. But in my head, I'm already number one.
Thank you, gentlemen. I've got just a very quick question for Scott Coker from me. Scott, how obviously we can still call the channel Spike, which airs Bellator. Obviously, it won't be when the event comes a week on Saturday. But how important has Spike been for the sport of mixed martial arts and its development? And also, how helpful is it having an organization, Paramount, Viacom, if you like, a multimedia conglomerate, in the assistance, in the kind of things you're trying to do all the time, like the heavyweight tournament, like these huge events at the Forum to kick off the year?
You know, Gareth, I think if you look back at the history of the sport and somebody writes, you know, a chapter, you know, 10, 20, 30 years from now, it should always be noted that before Kevin Kay greenlit The Ultimate Fighter series took place and exploded MMA, if that didn't happen and Kevin said, no, I'm not into it, you know, I'm not really a fan of MMA, but luckily he was a fan. He was a big fan, and being the president of Spike, he had the ability to make that happen, and that really took off MMA. Otherwise, it was at that crucial point where I remember MMA was, you know, it could have died at that point. A lot of people don't remember that time, and you know, have become fans since then. But it was a very, very, very critical era in mixed martial arts in the history, and Kevin Kay, you know, was part of that, and Viacom supported mixed martial arts, or have been supporting mixed martial arts since 2005, when that all went down. So, and then they, you know, had many years run with you know, doing many great fights and having a partnership with Zuffa, and then eventually bought their own, which is Bellator, which is what we're doing now. But the commitment behind MMA from this company from 2005 till today has not, you know, wavered. It's been strong. It's been, you know, consistent. It's been something that, you know, when I came on board, they said, look, let's put on the best events we can put on. Let's buy the best fighters that we can get. Let's build the best talent that we can build. And let's go create a great league. And that's what we're doing.
Our next question comes from the line of Steve Juan with MMA Mania.
Thank you, operator. I have a question for everybody on the line. I'd like to start with Scott Coker. Scott, if I may, we know that John McCarthy is joining the broadcast team at Bellator 192. Who's going to be anchoring the broadcast desk with him?
That would be Goldie.
All right. Was that the future lineup for all of the tentpole shows, or will that be all of the shows going forward?
No, that's for the show, and then, you know, sometimes Mauro comes in, and sometimes Goldie's there, but Goldie has the call on the 20th, which will be our inaugural launch next Saturday.
All right, looking forward to it, Scott. Thank you. My next question is for Chael, and I want to know, Mr. Sonnen, what is your ideal weight to be as explosive and dynamic as you were in the fight with Wanderlei Silva going into this heavyweight Grand Prix?
I like to be 214. I was 221 this morning. I was 224 a week ago, so I'm headed in the right direction. But I have a goal of getting to 214. It's always been tough. You know, I've never had to lose weight at any point in my life. I've never tried to diet for weight loss, aside from having to make a weight contractually. So that was always the forced discipline that I had in place, and I don't have that this time. So it's taking like an extra element. Which I have found some struggles with. It's very hard when you're hungry and laying in bed at night to not eat something when you can. But to answer your question, 214.
All right. Same question for Rampage. Mr. Jackson, what do you want to weigh going into this fight with Chael?
I want to weigh 210, but that's not going to happen.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to seeing whatever weight you are on the 20th next Saturday. But next, I'd like to go to Douglas Lima. You've faced some awesome challengers over the years for title defenses, guys like Lorenz Larkin, Andrei Koroshkov, and Paul Daly. Where do you rate Rory McDonald on that list?
Man, at the top of it, for sure. You know, his resume speaks for itself. Like I said before, he's been in the top for a long time. He's fought great competition. And yeah, man, I can't wait for it. You know, it's going to be a great fight. You know, it's a big name, you know, type of fights that I've been looking for, and can't wait for it.
All right. And for Rory McDonald, it's already been referenced on the call that you've previously beat Tyrone Woodley, who is currently the champion in another organization. But do you think that has any bearing on this fight with Douglas Lima? Can you even compare that fight, the Tyrone Woodley fight, to the fight with him and draw anything from it?
Not at all. I don't see any similarities whatsoever. I don't really know what to say. Douglas is a totally different fighter, but
I plan on going in there, being aggressive, and taking him out early.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Our next question comes from the line of Alex Lee with MMAfighting.com.
Hi, guys. My first question is for Rampage. I want to ask, you know, you made it clear Chael wasn't your first choice for an opponent in the opening round of this tournament. Who among the field would you have liked to have fought instead?
I don't care who I fought, but hey, you know, I like to fight you know what I'm saying, guys who don't mind standing up and you know, and fighting. I just fought a wrestler my last fight. I really like to fight, like, you know, guys who like to fight instead of just wrestling. You heard Chael say you gotta hold me down for 15 minutes. Why would I be excited about fighting somebody whose game plan is try to hold me down for 15 minutes?
So, like, someone like, I mean, does Matt Mitrione jump out at you? I know you said Fedor wasn't someone you wanted to fight, but he's certainly someone who would like to stand with you. Did either of those names, do those appeal to you?
You know, I don't care. I don't care who I fight in this tournament. It's a tournament. You got to fight everybody. But, like, if I'm going to be excited about fighting somebody, it's going to be somebody who's going to make it an exciting fight. Somebody who's going to come and mix it up and do a bunch of things. I don't never care if he was wrestling and take me down. You know what I'm saying? You're wrestling, take me down. Hell, grab me, pound me. Go for submission. Don't just, you know, plan to hold me down for 15 minutes. Like, I'm a true fighter. I'm one of the old school fighters, one of the dying breeds. I get in that cage to put on a show first and win second.
Okay, thanks, Rampage. Next question for Douglas. I want to ask, Douglas, you know, you've been one of Bellator's top guys for a while, but that Bellator NYC show was almost kind of like a coming out party. You were fighting at Madison Square Garden on pay-per-view against a contender. A lot of guys were picking to beat you. Has anything changed for you since then, especially ahead of the first U.S. show that you headlined in over 2 years? Have you felt a raise in profile?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's getting better. And, of course, Bellator is bringing out this, you know, these top guys, you know, guys with big names. So I love it, man. I love to have that target in the back. You know, I love being the champion. And, you know, let them all come at me. You know, I love it. I love that, you know, what Bellator is doing. You know, their organization, the division is stacked. You know, the welterweight is the stronger division there. And it feels good to sit on top of it.
Okay, thanks. Last one, Scott, for Scott. Scott, you know, obviously the timing was right for this heavyweight tournament. If it goes well, do you see yourself booking another tournament for any of the other divisions? Should one of those titles become vacant for whatever reason? Or is there just something about heavyweights that make them, you know, conducive to this Grand Prix format, like you also did in Strikeforce?
You know, we're going to leave that door open, and I think that this tournament happened in a kind of organic fashion. There was we just started signing all these guys, and a lot, and then pretty soon we're like, oh, we have our lineup here, and the tournament just made a lot of sense. And fighting for the belt at the end, I think, you know, is really really going to be a special event for the year. We have great storylines all year, you know, but there's a couple other divisions I can see us hosting, you know, next year or the year after, but it's not something we're going to be in the business of hosting or having to do a tournament every year. This was something that made a lot of sense, but we will keep that door open.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Our next question comes from the line of Rodney James Edwards with MMA Latest.
Thank you. That's Edgar, Rodney James Edgar. All right, my first question is for Rampage. Rampage, you and Chael had a bit of a beef back when y'all were both in UFC, and that was a fight that seemed like it almost came together, but it never did. So I'm wondering, is there still any true animosity between y'all on your end?
No, I don't have any problem with Chael right now. The only problem I got with Chael is that he's in my way, and I'm trying to get this everything up. That's the only problem I have with Chael. Nothing personal.
Roger that. Hey, how about this, Rampage? Let's up the ante on that bet. How about Scott Coker pays you $20,000 for every time you Rampage slam him? Sorry, Chael.
Every time I slam him.
Yeah. But you know we want to see. You know that's what the fans want to see.
I know that's what the fans want to see. How come the promoters won't give me somebody you know who's probably better wrestler than me so y'all can see it? I'm be slamming somebody who's a better wrestler than me.
I believe in you, Rampage. You'll figure out a way.
You'll figure out a way.
I appreciate
it. I'll figure out a way. Okay. All right. I've done it once. I slammed Ryan Bader. I didn't think I was going to get him because he's a better wrestler than me. But, hell, who knows?
Well, while you guys are waiting for the next intelligent response, which would only come from yours truly, I will tell you guys how to save 15% or more by switching your car insurance to Geico. Guys, it's so easy. All you got to do is go to geico.com today. These guys have been around for a long time, and this company has been offering the best rates. I'm telling you, they are great, and they got great service. And they've been doing it for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Now back to the press conference and hopefully an intelligent reporter that cues up Chael P.
Our next question is from the line of Jay Anderson with Cage Side Press.
Operator. And first for Chael, I mean, you fought at middleweight, you fought at light heavyweight, but obviously you're going to be giving up a lot of weight in this. If all goes well, you know, you'd be fighting next year, you'd be 41. Is there any concern that this could be fairly taxing on your body, giving up that much weight?
I haven't thought about any taxing, but it is a first for me. I mean, it creates a little bit of anxiety, like as I lay in bed at night and try to work this match through. I've got some teammates that I go with that are you know, as big as Rampage or bigger. And a lot of my techniques just don't work. I'll do everything perfect and hit those guys, and boom, I just get stopped because of the size. So, it's the first for me. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the unknown process. I got into grappling lately, and the only reason I went into grappling was just I'd never done it before, and there was some apprehensiveness, and maybe you'd even call it fear, and that's just kind of what I enjoyed about the process. So, I don't totally know what to make about it. And, you know, I have had a hard time in practice with some of the stuff I've done and fortunately have those bodies to go, okay, we might have to go to a plan B or a plan C here. So I don't fully know what to make about it. You know, Edgar had just asked Rampage if this was fight, you know, had any animosity. And, I want to just add to that because, it doesn't. And one thing we found in fighting is we kind of need a little animosity. I've never called somebody out unless I really wanted to fight them and just had a way, but this is different. It's a tournament. I just did an interview this morning. Somebody asked me, hey, if you beat Rampage, you're going to call out Fedor, but it doesn't work that way. We're in a tournament. This is the way the Olympics does it. This is the way the NFL does it. This is the way the NCAA does it. So it's not about drama and having bad blood, man. It's a straight line bracket, like every mainstream sport out there. It's really rare. You know, Coker got put in a tough spot where he leaked that, hey, pretty soon I'm going to crown a heavyweight champion. Everybody starts calling him and saying, well, I want to be in that fight, making all their arguments by way that, you know, I'm 5-0 and I beat this guy and that guy. And finally he just throws his hands up and goes, okay, you eight guys keep blowing me up. How about I throw you all in a tournament and whoever's left standing, I'll put the belt around. And we all stand back and go, yeah, that's fair.
Just a follow-up question to that. You know, we saw another promotion, GSP, come back and then, you know, kind of walk away from the belt. If you win this heavyweight title at 41, is that a case where you do want to stick around and defend it for a while, or would you consider kind of going off into the sunset on top?
Well, I get split a little bit on that. I definitely would not go anywhere else or use that as a negotiation tool. I want to make that really clear. I'm completely loyal to Bellator and would not even consider anything else, but I really believe, and I'm a traditionalist, I'm a fan first, I really believe that you've got to defend it. I don't feel anybody should go out on top, and some guys do. George St. Pierre is one of them, but he gave them every chance in the world to beat him. He gave guys rematches, and some guys got three matches. He changed. He did everything he could do to get beat and pass that torch. He was just that damn good. And aside from him and Lennox Lewis, I can't think of anyone that goes out on top. We all our careers in the same, face down and embarrassed. And I think that I'm going to follow suit on that. I mean, that's what will be up. I don't want to leave anything on the table. If I got one more match or one more walk or one more experience, good, bad, or indifferent, I'm going to take it.
All right, and a question for Rory, if I can. Rory, you referred to yourself as an A-plus athlete compared to some A athletes. What, if anything, does Douglas Lima present to you that you either haven't seen before or maybe not as good as he does it?
Well, I think Douglas his biggest strength is his power. He can hit hard from pretty much anywhere. And I think that's the biggest thing. But I've fought a lot of power hitters before, and I've been very successful against those guys. So I'm not too stressed about it. But he's dynamic. He's good on the ground as well. He's a strong athlete. So pretty much every position we're going to be in, it's going to be a fight. I can assume that. But I think his biggest asset is going to be his power.
And Rory, just one quick other question. The label going around, the Canadian Cycle label, does that get you at all? Does it bother you at all? Does any trash talk get to you?
No, I'm indifferent about it. I don't really care.
All right, thanks, Rory. And Scott Coker, just one final question. Do we have the names of any alternates for the Grand Prix, and do we know when any of the alternate fights are going down?
Yeah, we do, and we will start announcing that at a later date.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Steve Morocco with MMAJunkie.com.
I was literally just about to ask Scott if you had any if you had the alternate set for the tournament, but do you have any idea when you're going to be announcing those?
Yes, probably. Look for us at the post-fight press conference on Saturday.
Okay, cool. Shane Carwin put his name in the hat about 2 months ago. Is it too early to ask if he's one of the guys, or?
I know that Rich is continuing to talk to them, but by no means does that mean that he's locked in for an alternate yet.
Okay, and then also Rory. Put his name in the hat. He said he thought he would be used as an alternate. Is that even conceivable in your mind?
Well, I think Rory has a big fight coming up that he's focused on, at 170 pounds. So, let's see how that works out. And then, as far as him fighting in heavyweight, I love Rory. The thing I love about him is that, he's a real martial artist, and the weight class issue doesn't bother him. But, I think that we'll probably stick to heavyweights for fighters that actually can make it over, 205 pounds.
Rory, is that still a thing for you? You mentioned it on, the MMA Hour a little while ago. Was that serious, or is that just something you were sort of musing about?
No, I would definitely take part in it if I had the opportunity. I don't see any reason why I wouldn't do it.
Do you think you'd be competitive at heavyweight with such a big gap in weight?
I think anytime I get in a fight against anybody, it's going to be competitive. I'm the type of fighter that's going to go down swinging to my last breath. So even if these guys are, massive, I'm still gonna make them feel something. I'm going to make them fight for it. That's for sure.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Our next question comes from the line of Damon Martin with MMAWeekly.com.
Hey, guys, first question for Rory. Rory, throughout your career, you fought, the best of the best in welterweight when you were in the UFC. Where would you put Douglas Lima in that list? I mean, considering you have fought the current UFC champion, the number one contender in the UFC, you're kind of a good measuring stick for, where this sits. Where do you put Douglas Lima in kind of like the list of tough opponents you faced?
Right up there at the top. Any, the top five or top 10 guys, he beat, his last opponent there, now I'm forgetting his name, but he was in the top 10. He was doing really well. But, I would imagine Douglas would fit very well in the top five in the UFC. So,
I'm preparing for one of the world's best, that's for sure.
You know, you said it earlier, Rory, you already believe you're the number one welterweight in the world. Is that important to you to have that narrative coming out of this fight? You know, we always have that debate of, you know, it was Pride versus the UFC and now it's UFC versus Bellator. I mean, is it important to you that people would consider you the number one welterweight in the sport, regardless of organization?
I think it's an added cool factor to have that debate going on. You know, with more guys coming over from the UFC and into Bellator, I think that just makes the debate that much closer of an argument, you know. But I think that my performances will speak for themselves and people will be able to, you know, make up their own mind. And I think they'll see for themselves where the class of fighter that I am when they see me fight on Saturday.
And Rory, you know, you have mentioned, you know, several times the possibility of jumping around, doing some fights at other weights, maybe going to middleweight. Douglas Lima is clearly the number one guy in Bellator. He has been there for a while, and obviously he's beaten pretty much everybody. If you beat him, I mean, is that kind of the goal, to maybe go to middleweight, test yourself, or are there still other fights for you at welterweight? Is defending the title important, or is it maybe, you know, finding the best challenges?
I think it's all about timing. So I'm pretty much open to anything, whatever like is the best thing at that particular time, I'm pretty much ready to jump on it. So for example, if there's not really a clear number one contender for me to fight at welterweight, if I beat Douglas, I'd be happy to fight for the middleweight title or fight someone with a bigger name that might be in a larger weight class. I'm really open to any option. I think it just comes down to timing and availability and what the fans are most excited to see at that particular time.
And a question for Douglas Lima. Douglas, you know, obviously Rory is a, you know, phenomenal welterweight and has been around the sport for a lot of time, but do you feel overlooked at all going into this fight? Like, do you feel like the underdog, or how is your, you know, perspective considering you are the champion?
I mean, I'm being considered the underdog for many people. In my eyes, I'm not the underdog. You know, I'm the champion. You know, I know he's fought, you know, bigger names, you know, throughout his career, but I don't think it matters who's the, you know, the underdog or not. I don't think it really matters. I know this is one of the best fights at welterweight right now. You know, it doesn't matter which organization. I think at welterweight, this is one of the best fights ever. So, man, I feel pretty good. I feel in my prime, you know, right now. I'm still young. I'm hungry. And, you know, same for him. So, yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter, you know, if I'm the underdog or not. I'm just ready to compete. I work very hard. You know, I've been training for this fight since my last fight. You know, I was supposed to take place last year. So I've been ready. I've been ready this whole time. You know, I'm healthy, healthier than ever. And I'm just looking forward to this fight.
And two quick questions for Scott Coker. Scott, I'm curious with the matchups in the heavyweight, you know, Grand Prix. I mean, obviously it's a really fun Grand Prix, but was there a reason behind, you know, matching up, you know, kind of like the light heavyweights against the light heavyweights, the heavyweights against the heavyweights in the first round versus kind of mixing things up? Was that always the plan, or was it just the way things worked out that you didn't have maybe, you know, Rampage fight of Matt Mitrione?
You know, timing was part of it, when these guys were going to be ready. And then, you know, we sat down as a group and said, hey, we think that this would be the fights that the fans want to see. And that's what we laid out. So it was really a timing issue.
And last for me, Scott, you know, the timing of the tournament, you got basically one fight, you know, over the next, you know, few months here with the tournament kicking off with, you know, obviously Rampage and Chael and moving into February. Was there a reason to stretch it out over a few months versus having maybe all the fights within a two-month period, or was it just the timing so you could basically have the end of the tournament in December? I'm assuming that's the plan.
Yeah, that is the plan. I mean, you know, we've hosted tournaments where, you know, we did four men in one night, and then we've, you know, been around when we were doing all eight fighters in one night. I mean, it's just you know, to do it all in one night, just for MMA, it's just people get hurt. It just doesn't work. And even the four man tournament was really tough. And you know, we had injuries. So I said, you know what? Let's just let's just have single elimination and let's just do it over the period of the year, because these guys all are big stars, big brand names on their own. They could all carry a main event on their own, and it's a great storytelling vehicle for the next 12 months. And having the vacant title as the prize at the end, I think it's a very intriguing story.
Awesome. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Ty O'Keefe with the Fight Network.
Hey, guys. Thanks for talking to us today. My first question is for Rory. You spoke about fighting at different weight classes several times and things like that. But do you think that moving forward, that's the only way you're going to be able to stay as busy as you want to with Bellator, is by seeking out other fights outside the welterweight division?
I don't think so. I think there's plenty of good talent at welterweight. I could be very busy for a long time with the amount of fighters they have at welterweight, but I'm seeking I'm looking past I want to achieve more than just one weight class. I want to broaden my horizons a little bit.
Definitely. My next question is for Chaelson. You've been in the sport a very long time. If you did win this heavyweight Grand Prix, where would that stand on your list of career accomplishments?
Oh, it'd be my greatest accomplishment, man. I'm a tournament guy. That's what I grew up doing, 4 or 5 guys in one day every single Saturday. And I love this tournament. I wish it was all in one night. That's old school. I think that's something that it sounds a little better to say than to actually do. I couldn't really see anybody in this tournament fighting 3 other guys in this tournament in one night, but that is the old school. It sure would be fun, as a fan, to get to be part of. But it'd be a huge accomplishment. I love tournaments. They're super tough. I love fighting these big name guys, man. I'm a fan before everything else. I know all of these guys. I know everything about all these guys. I've never had to study 1 second of Rampage for this match, because I've seen all of Rampage's matches. I get asked the question all the time, who's a better talker, you or Conor McGregor? People ask me that. And I go, I'm happy to answer, but you're leaving one guy out. You're leaving out Rampage. That's the original guy to bring out charisma. I can tell you how many times I was in my living room with a bunch of friends watching a pay-per-view. We'd all watch the fight and the party be going on, and as soon as it was done, everybody would shush everybody so we could hear what Rampage had to say. Yes, it would be my biggest accomplishment, but I think I speak for everybody. Ryan Bader comes to this tournament as a sitting world champion. I think Ryan Bader himself would have to tell you, man, this would take the cake.
Yeah, definitely. My next question is for Scott Coker. I got to speak to you briefly just before Bellator NYC, and I asked you then if you did attract, new fans from which obviously you did, from the Bellator NYC event. What were you going to do to keep them coming back? And so my question is, are you satisfied with what Bellator has done, in order to keep those new fans coming back post-Bellator NYC?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the quality of fights that we've done post-NYC or even before, or even on the night of NYC on the the Spike telecast at that time, and the commitment that we're making to this tournament to air on Paramount Network, it's something that I think the fans have appreciated and have been thankful, and we've been getting a lot of good response. And we're excited about this year. It's going to be, I think, hopefully a record-breaking year for us.
Guys, we're going to take one or two more questions. Operator, you can go to the next caller.
The next question comes from the line of Jim Edwards with MMA Mix.
Yeah, hi there, guys. My question is for Chael. Chael, I've seen you've been doing a lot of breakdowns on your YouTube channel recently. How do you kind of see this main event playing out between Rory and Lima?
Man, I love it. I can tell you my ego is greatly affected anytime I'm not the main event, and co-main event is exactly where I belong on this card. Rory McDonald is so good. I can't think of anybody George St. Pierre has ever handed a compliment to, and St. Pierre will tell anybody that'll listen that Rory McDonald, if not being the best welterweight, is the second best to him. I call out guys like John Jones, I call out Fedor, I call out Anderson Silva, I call out Rampage Jackson, I call out Rory McDonald because he's ever been as good as those guys.
He's nasty and he's scary. He beat the defending champion from Vegas. A lot of people thought he was winning against Robbie Law. I mean, you go on and on about this guy. And with that said, he's not our champion. Douglas Lima is. Douglas Lima is the most disrespected guy in all of MMA. He's been a highlight reel for Bellator for 2 years. He was supposed to get knocked out in his last fight. Not only did he not get knocked out, he knocked the other guy down. He's got incredible hands. He's huge. He should be a middleweight, but he's a man of honor that signed a contract, so he honors the contract. And that's not even where he does his best work. His skills are on the ground. He's just so damn good, he doesn't even have to go there. I just hope that we can, if anything comes of this night, I hope we can all agree in sportsmanship that if Lima gets over on Rory, we finally give him his due.
Thanks, Joe.
Well, Douglas, let me ask you, man, do you feel that a win over Rory is going to kind of make people take notice and finally give you that respect that you obviously were?
I hope so, Brad. I really do. I'm just going to, go over there, give my best, try to knock his head off. But if that's not enough, then we just keep fighting. What can I do,
And yeah, just one last one for Rory as well. Rory, I know recently you obtained, I guess, a very lucrative sponsorship from the kind of cryptocurrency community. Can you tell us how that kind of came about? And I guess, when you weigh this fight up against some of the fights in your last organization, how much more are you getting for this fight, I guess, from sponsors than back in the other organization?
Yeah, I'm getting sponsored by a cryptocurrency. It's called Dash Digital Cash. And how it came about was basically someone in the community was talking to Froz, my coach in Montreal. And me and Froz had been involved in crypto for years now. So we always talk about it. And anyway, he passed along this guy from Dash, and we put together a sponsorship proposal to the community, and the proposal passed. So this will be hopefully the first of many sponsorships with Dash and me. And, hopefully what I see is Dash coming into the MMA community and, hopefully Bellator could jump on it and a lot of the other fighters can reap the rewards of that. That's one of my main goals is that it's not just for me, but this is going to be a big opportunity for many other fighters and even Bellator itself.
Great stuff, Gaia. Thanks for your time.
Our last question comes from the line of Oscar Willis with the Mac Life.
Hi, guys. This is a question for Chael. During the lead-up to this fight, you described a altercation with yourself and Rampage in Arizona that had to be separated by Michael Bisping. I was wondering if you could just expand on that. What exactly was it about, and how did it come that Bisping was the one to separate you both?
Yeah, man, it's just heat that goes back a long time. And I really can't remember. I've got such a short-term memory. And the last time I was with Rampage, which was 2 weeks ago, he was such a gentleman. It was like, oh my God, do we have to start this over? It's like a guy I had never met before. Started many years ago. Dana White got involved. He tried to make the fight. He offered us coaching spots on the Ultimate Fighter and was going to build this thing. And it just never came around. I was going to move into the weight class. I was a middleweight at the time. And I can't remember all the history. I ended up somewhere in Chicago and I got into it with some guy. We were just visiting socially and it escalated. Well, that dude turned out to be Rampage's brother. So it gets back to Rampage. I mean, just everything that could go wrong between us went wrong between us. And we ended up in a hotel lobby. I was getting ready to take on Bisping in a grappling match. Rampage was going to commentate it. And, things just escalated. I don't even know why they put us at the same hotel. And ultimately, Bisping had to get in and break the whole thing up. So I never thought our paths were going to cross. Rampage was going in one direction. He was in San Jose. I was with the guys in Vegas, or maybe I was even sitting in the principal's office at the time. And things just finally came around. I mean, I'm jumping around on the story, but I've got you 90% there.
Okay. And so, obviously, the pair of you have been fairly amicable in the lead-up to this. So how do those bad feelings subside? Is it just a case of time expiring and you slowly get over it, or was there a reason that you guys sort of made things up?
Yeah, I have no idea, man. I got out to LA as about 10 or 12 days ago, and Rampage was just such a nice guy. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say. There was really no, I don't like to manufacture. You know, I get said to be, you know, Chael will talk some trash or something, but I've never seen myself that way. I'm a truth talker. If I don't see it, I won't say it. I won't make something up to sell a fight or anything else. I mean, it's just the reality. And fortunately, we're in a bracketed format where animosity's got nothing to do with it. Your skills have everything to do with it. Somebody's going to advance, and they're going to go against the next guy who had skills and could advance. So, I mean, I'll leave it where it lies, but that was my experience. He might have a different one to share.
Fair enough. And speaking of this being a bracketed tournament, you're well known for planning things ahead of time, sort of knowing who your next opponent is after this one. Do you see a pathway through this tournament to victory? Do you sort of look at, say, like, well, if Bader loses to Mo, I have a better shot, or vice versa? Do you see a pathway to victory, or are you just taking this one step at a time?
No, I play the bracket through 10 times a day, every single day. You know, what could possibly happen? And I do it a lot to take my focus off Rampage. I don't like to focus on one guy. I like to be distracted. I like to have something else to look forward to. So looking past Rampage is a risky game. I mean, that's a former world champion right there. But, yeah, I do. You know, I'm real interested in the Mir match, Mir and Fedor. I can see that going both ways. I'm not one of the guys that's writing Fedor off yet. I think there's been some real circumstance as to some of his last matches. I mean, come on, him and Mitrione knock each other down at the exact same time. It was just a really weird circumstance. So, you know, I'm not on board with that. I don't want to fight Mo because, you know, we go back to college days, and I just would rather not fight him. And so, you know, could he get eliminated? Maybe, but he does his best work against those bigger guys, those guys that have a little harder time getting out of the way, and he steps in big and powerful and fast and puts them down. So I think he's a likely guy to advance. I think Mitrione's the real number one contender. If Coker wasn't doing the tournament, he was just doing a one-off like is tradition in this sport, I think that Mitrione would be 50% of that, and we'd have to find someone to fight him. That's my opinion. He's also the Vegas favorite, so... I think Rampage and I got very lucky only in one regard, which is we're first. And in these tournaments, you know, another reporter brought it up at the beginning of this press conference, but it is about who can hold up. You know, there's a reason they have to have alternates. I know Rampage will walk out there no matter how he feels. I promise you I will walk out there no matter how I feel. But I don't know that I can say that about the other six guys. Some of them even have a history of pulling out of fights for not feeling great. So you got to have these alternates, and we did get lucky. We're up first. That means we have, if nothing else, we have the most time to recover.
Perfect. Well, I think that's a great way to end it. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Oscar. And I want to just take this time to thank all the media. I'm sorry if we didn't get to your call. Just thank you to the fighters and the media for attending this call. And we'll talk to you soon. See you next Saturday at the Forum, live on the Paramount Network and free. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
That concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect your lines.
So what do you think? I mean, I don't know what to do there, right? I wasn't the most exciting press conference I've ever been part of, but look, I'm in a tough spot. And I don't talk trash as much as people say I do. I will not manufacture anything. I don't try to sell anything to the public. I don't believe in that. Don't forget, we are a retail service at the end of the day. I don't commit fraud and come out and tell somebody, you know, that I got some problem with some guy. If I don't, I just don't do that. You can't do that anywhere in the world. You can't do that in the car business. Show up to a car lot, and the guy tries to tell you that, oh, this has AC, and it turns out it doesn't. And he goes, well, why was you trying to sell you the car? Well, you're trying to sell me the car. You lied to me. I'm not going to take people's money on something false. I don't have this huge problem with Rampage. I didn't call out Rampage. It's a bracket. They drew up a bracket. That's who I got. That's where it ends. So, you know, when you listen to those press conferences and everybody's waiting for that sizzling moment, I do too. I do the same thing. I wait for them, and I wait to deliver them. But in a shoot like this, what am I going to do? I've got Rampage. It could be anybody. It's a tournament. I got to go through three guys. He's first. That's it. To reach my dream, that's what I have to do. Should I fail? That's part of it too. But I don't get to stack the deck or control it. I didn't call Rampage out. It's a straight line bracket. So I get a little bit confused there. You know, I listen to Rory. Rory's got his own approach. I find Rory to be very boring to listen to. I find Rory to be very awesome to watch. Douglas Lima is just a nice guy. In this business, if you don't have edge, if you don't have a bit of a chip on your shoulder, it's very hard to garner that respect. And I see him missing that mark all the time because his skills are through the roof. And for a guy like him that's the champion, sometimes you got to just go with what the one that brought you. And the one that brought him here is his abilities. So I don't fault any of those guys. And I also don't fault our listeners for going, I was kind of hoping for a little bit more spice. Well, I was too. I'm always hoping for a little bit more spice. But to quote President Trump, I'm a counterpuncher. The other guy's got to go first. You bring it. I will make you wish you didn't. But listen, Rampage, he seems like he's relaxed a little bit. What am I going to do with that?
Y'all sounded relaxed.
Everybody sounded relaxed.
Yeah.
What do you think Coker's saying? Coker's about to go, hey, guys, you know I'm a fight promoter, okay? What the hell are you doing to me here? But it's like, well, boss, I feel you. I'd love to help you out a little bit more there, but it is what it is, man. It's a straight line. As far as I go, it's a straight line bracket.
There was nothing personal in that conference
call. There's nothing there.
It was just business as usual, and they're gonna. That's where the business is, in the cage.
That's where it is. And the heat I've had with Rampage, what am I supposed to tell, old stories? You know, I could tantalize you real fast, but I got to tell you stuff that happened in 2011. It's 2018. Do people want to hear about that? Maybe, but I don't know. It puts me in a tough spot. It's just a reality.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out this Saturday.
We'll find out soon enough.
Yeah.
Diplomacy has failed, Jacob. We are going to have
to accept a forfeit. This was the last shot. Well, theoretically, in public, this was the last shot.
Yeah, he can still forfeit.
He can. Up to the match.
Yeah, up to the match. Yeah. I don't want an alternate. It's got to be a forfeit, so I advance.
Yeah.
That's it. But if that fails, then we're going to have to fight.
Yep.
There is no other options.
Let's do this thing.
If you're looking for a car, my friend, or any of our listeners, who are also our friends, let's save them some money. Go to True Car. Here's the way it works. If you're looking for a vehicle, log on www.truecar.com or go into your search engine, any kind of phone you have, type in True Car, get the app. When you're ready to make a purchase, and it doesn't matter if it's new or if it's just new to you, put in the year, the make, the model, the color, any damn thing you want to do to that car, type in your zip code. It's going to show you what people in your area paid for that exact same car. You then will be connected with a True Car certified dealer who will find that vehicle and honor that price. Our listeners are saving about $4,000 off of the MSRP, okay? You get down to the dealership, your rig is guaranteed to be there. There's no going back and forth of the trained salesman. There's no spending a day at the car lot. Your price is set. Your car is set. Get your key, sign for it, and get out of there. Jacob, you got any final thoughts? I have noticed, by the way, you have not yet wished me luck, which I do find a little bit weird.
That I don't think I want to jinx it yet.
Oh, are you a bad luck charm like me?
I am a little bit.
You know what? My cousin Corey can't even come to my matches anymore because every match he's come to, old Chael got the silver medal.
Yeah.
And I don't think it has anything to do with it. I love having him there.
It doesn't.
And I wish he was there, but he is convinced that he's pissing in the well somewhere.
I'm kind of the same way. I'm saving it for Friday, man.
Save your good luck. Don't need it. Won't take it. For Jacob, I'm Chael, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hi, this is Dennis Miller, and I want to invite you to listen to my new podcast, Red Circle Sports, right here on Podcast One. I'll be recapping the weekend's most exciting sports stories, and I'll bring them to you every Tuesday. Plus, hear me chat with some of my favorite sports industry guests like Rich Eisen. So be sure to subscribe to Red Circle Sports with me, Dennis Miller, on the Podcast One app at podcastone.com or on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to rate, review, and share. Be there or be square.